It's time for What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
Hi, Jacinda Ardern, Deputy Leader of the Labor Party. What a week it's been for you guys to be able to throw things at the government.
Yep, and it's been a significant week, and I get the feeling following on for the weekend it's going to keep going.
Okay, so for people who don't know what happened, and bearing in mind, of course, your obvious bias.
Obviously.
Do you want to just run us through events the key events as far as little Todd's big blunder?
Yeah, so basically in 2016, Todd Barclay has clearly some...
National Party MP
from Clutha Southland, so he replaced Bill English. And when he replaced Bill English, he took over Bill English's staff, one of which who had been there working for Bill English for 17 years. There's obviously some tensions between Todd and the team down there.
Do you think it was him saying, can you call me Mr. Barclay, please?
Well, there's lots of speculation about whether or not he wanted to spend time in Gore versus Queenstown and stuff like that.
Sure.
But putting that aside, he had a view that his electorate staff were speaking ill of him. And it's alleged that he recorded one of them using a dictaphone. Now, the dispute really comes up because he has claimed that he didn't. But Bill English, in fact, gave a statement to the police saying that Todd Barclay had told him that he recorded his staff. Now, of course, that's important because it's illegal to do that, basically. The interesting thing, though, is that despite having given that statement, Bill English told the media that he had nothing to do with it, didn't know anything about it, basically threw his hands up. And then, you know, sometime down the track it was proven he absolutely knew all about it. Not just gave a statement to the police, but even was the one who called Glenys Dixon, the staff member, to tell her she'd been recorded. Now, where it gets all murky is,
snitched,
of course, Bill English misleading people, but also...
We should make a point, though, saying that this was happening before Bill English was Prime Minister.
Indeed, yep. Yeah. This all happened when he was Deputy Prime Minister, yep. So still pretty senior. And you can see how he got dragged into it. His or that he inserted himself in, it was his ex-staff member, and you're pretty close to your team. But in the end, the Prime Minister's office paid, $80,000 to seal this dispute.
Do we know it's $80,000?
No, that's what's been talked about, the size of the sum. You're right, I don't know that we've firmly established that was the amount, but Bill English sent a text to someone that went to that finally landed with the police saying it was a sizable amount because of the fact it was a recording.
And that was John Key's office, John Key's personal Prime Minister budget, which whatever that is.
The leader's office budget contributed to that payout. Now, the other thing is the police never investigated it because Todd Barclay wouldn't cooperate. So it didn't go anywhere.
How do you just do that?
That's
not really National Party.
Yeah, they claim that they couldn't establish enough to pursue it because now Bill is claiming that he told Todd to cooperate or encouraged him to do that. So, yeah, I mean, over the weekend, the reason it got interesting was because suddenly, after, you know, admitting that he knew there was a tape, that he told the police there was a tape, then Bill English came out and said it was never established there was a tape. So it's kind of extraordinary. You get the sense that the Prime Minister's now just wilting under all of the multiple different stories he may have told on it, or has just, is just getting himself in a real bind over it.
I know it's really popular to Bennett bash at the moment, but what about Paula Bennett just jumping to his defence so dramatically? No, not the headline was dumb. You're talking about the one that she had a political crush on him.
Political crush on him.
It wasn't. It was more her just her tone and her. There's no way he can do anything wrong. There's no way you want people to be accountable for stuff. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, look. As we've unfortunately had to prove in the last week, you know, when you stuff up, you've got to own it. You've got to be honest about it, because otherwise you see that not only do people look at you and think, what kind of integrity do you have, but you also get yourself into the kind of situation that Bill English is now, where he's just got himself in a complete bind because he's told so many versions of the story. No one, I think, is going to believe that he doesn't know anything about it. When you've worked with a staff member,
I heard him interviewed by Patrick Gower on the weekend, and it was But he, Patrick Gower just smashed him. It's just, yeah. It was ridiculous. Yeah. I saw
snippets. Bill was really sweating pretty profusely during it, and it was, yeah.
Is integrity something that we vote on now, though?
Oh, God, I wish it was. You know, I think the unfortunate thing is that people have an assumption. People unfortunately have an assumption that all politicians lie. And, you know, I kind of feel like we saw that bear out with John Key during the GCSB issue. And, you know, that actually people just felt like, you know, that it was just, if it gets proven a politician
and the
lies,
you just confirm it.
Yeah, you're just confirming what they already feel. But that's not true, you know. Not all of us do, and nor should we. And I think we should be held to account. I think, you know, elections should be about integrity.
So this weekend would have all been, until this all sort of came to the fore, you guys being Labour, would have been focused on the upcoming National Party conference, I suppose, and what they were going to be releasing there,
yeah.
Trying to predict, you know, second guess what was going to maybe be announced. And what was announced was not much, really.
No, and I think it was just, we don't spend too much time predicting what they might do, but you do, you kind of keep an eye on it because, of course, you're always asked to respond. But the thing that got me is, you know, we always get pummeled if we don't have something substantive to say at our Congress. And so we always focus on making sure that we give people an insight into, when we're in government, what we're going to do. But all Bill English really did was say, I'm going to chuck out some more tax cuts, which,
It worked the last three elections.
Yeah, I guess time will tell. I mean,
haven't you just felt the wealth with all those tax cuts?
Well, I have to say, when we still, you know, have substantial debt and we haven't restarted superannuation contributions and we've got a massive social deficit, just dangling that around feels so cynical. But again, I'm obviously biased.
The thing I found interesting about the National Party conference is, which I find interesting about all the conferences that all of you have, is the adulation. Like, you know, it's like because if I'm not mistaken, Bill English has already run for Prime Minister once and didn't get it, and whatever you think of him as a Deputy Prime Minister, he's assumed the role they're carrying on like he's the chosen one. And it's just, and that's, I find that really unusual. It's like, well, he didn't really earn it. He hasn't done what, like, did the budgets?
Fair point. I mean, he's essentially taken over, and
the angle of my brain, but I just thought I find that very unusual. Knowing the personalities and that you see in the National Party, that he hasn't been usurped.
I think had any one person had enough support that kind of hung around them, they might have. I mean, there's definitely factions that exist in the National Party, and Judith Collins is in one camp, and then there's kind of everyone else. I just don't think anyone had within their team the credibility to be able to do it other than Bill. But now I think there's a real focus on giving him enough buoyant support to try and get him through the election campaign, because I think people see him as having been, maybe a reasonable finance minister. We can debate that, but most people, I think, in the public kind of have that feeling about him. But I'm not sure that translates naturally into being a prime minister. And so that's what I think they're really rapidly trying to prove.
Well, I thought he might have some dirt on some people.
And what happened this week doesn't help.
Beg your pardon? The last week, yeah, of course. Mm. Has the Labour Party thought about maybe checking out in your policy? You know, when you've been thinking about forming policy for the election, what you're going to announce? You know, thinking about maybe some tax cuts there, and maybe a bit of, you know, propping up of the middle class.
Well, we are going to put out our alternative, package in what is it about? 2 or 3 weeks' time-ish. But I think you'll see us focusing squarely on some of those priorities we've always already talked about, the people that we're worried of really, really doing it tough right now. And I think, I'd like to think people would expect us to do that.
I found it remarkable on the weekend to read that company Ryman Healthcare.
Yep.
Huge company. Huge. Like one of the most, I think the most successful aged care company in New Zealand. They didn't pay any tax last year. And it's fair enough that they're probably doing it by the book. But that book's a bit rotten, if you ask me.
Don't even get me started. I mean,
they didn't pay any tax. I paid some tax.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a real issue around fairness, particularly, multinationals. It's estimated they're not paying up to $300 million worth of tax.
Well, Fonterra paid like a million dollars. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think it's pretty close to $1 million 1 year for one of the largest corporations in the world.
Well, look, I think that there's around the degree to which we pursue that as well, because the government's now said, oh, yep, we're going to chase down that unpaid multinational taxation, but only...
Chuck a capital gains tax on, team.
About a third of it. Well, yeah, and there's the question, when you look at the way our taxation system works, people talk a lot about, playing around with income tax. Actually, the issue is that we don't fair all... we just don't tax fairly in New Zealand, capital versus the way that we tax income. So,
what's your capital gains tax policy?
We've said, firstly, when it comes to housing, that we want to extend that the so-called bright line test. So this idea, if you buy a house mostly just to make capital gain and you flip it off from when you buy it within 5 years, we think you should be taxed on that. We've also said that actually we think we need a full review of our entire taxation system, and it's just too hard to do that in opposition, with our team of five researchers and one economist.
Five?
So
mm-hmm.
that's something that we want to do when we're in government, but we've been very clear that the principle we're going to focus on is fairness when we do that.
All right, Jacinda, thank you so much for talking to us again this week. We'll speak to you again next week.
Nice to chat. Always like to get in a bit of tax chat before 8:30 on a Monday.
It makes you feel alive, doesn't it?
Woo! Have a great week.
Woo, get tax! You. Woo!
That was What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.